Welcome to the Aliana Nita podcast, the podcast created to inform, challenge, and empower you. Now let's get down to business. Hi guys, welcome back to the show. I am so excited to have you join me this week for this show. I brought on a special guest who is not a stranger to the podcast, Dr. Crystal Martin, and we discussed our favorite show, Insecure. This is a very light and airy episode. I just kind of wanted to break up the episode because I know that in future shows, I'm going to be talking about some very heavy topics. So I wanted to put this in the middle of some of the heavy topics that I'll be talking about to kind of give us something to relax and decompress with. And so this episode is very fun. We give a lot of insights. We give our theories and what we feel and what we've learned from the show. So I hope you guys enjoy it. And until I talk to you guys again, love you and peace. So guys, I have the wonderful and brilliant Dr. Crystal Martin, and she is no stranger to the Aliana Nita podcast. She was on and she talked with us about the show Insecure, one of our favorite shows. So Crystal, go ahead and introduce yourself. Say hi to everybody. They miss you.
Hey girl, hey. You know, the doctor title when we're doing this kind of subject matter is really, really interesting because it's really like I'm about to drop some profound insight and we're talking about a TV show. So
right.
One of my favorite TV shows nonetheless. But I'm here, I'm ready. Let's get into it.
I'm so excited to have you. I mean, we need this. We just need a moment. And especially in this climate. So our favorite TV show is in its fourth season, which is so phenomenal. And they actually signed on for a fifth season. So we know for sure we're getting one more season from Insecure. So this is crazy. Like this, I feel like this whole season of the show has been a roller coaster ride. What do you think?
Girl, you know, I had a very interesting take on this season because I was not very interested in the episodes that followed the block party. You know, I did watch them, of course, but I, you know, they did not captivate me in ways that, you know, previous episodes have. And maybe that's something we could talk about, the reasons why, just by talking about the content of what was going on in those particular episodes. But so I didn't have huge expectations for the season until this past episode, which knocked me off my feet, and I'm sure we're gonna talk about it.
Oh, for sure. I feel like I agree with you because I felt like a lot of this season lackluster. And I feel like all of the other seasons went so hard, but I feel like the reason why they could take some time and breathe and kind of like drag out some of the episodes is because they know they have another season coming up. And I feel like all of the other seasons, they had to really like give us so much from every episode. And now that we know we have another season coming, they can kind of like drag out some of the content because like even the, I feel like the last episode with Molly and her man, when they was in Mexico and it was just basically about them two, I was like, this was a very boring episode. It was like, nothing came from it. Like, I know that they was, you know, she was triggered, obviously, by her boyfriend's brother. And she called her therapist because she realized she has trouble letting things go. But it was like, okay, well, what is the point of this episode?
Right.
You know?
Right. No, I agree.
I think that I feel like the episode, the block party episode was so explosive. So I think I'm enjoying Kendola a little bit, but I just, you know, I feel like the way that she ghosted Issa was ridiculous. What do you feel about that?
Kendola's a very interesting character because I have not been able to resolve my feelings for her. Now, here's the thing that I do know. For whatever reason, and maybe I'm the only person that feels this way, I have never felt truly invested in the friendship between Issa and Molly. Like, I know they're friends, they're long term. No, never felt it. Nope.
Oh, give details. Give details.
I legit just told someone, like, I'm good on Molly.
Yeah, Molly is trash this season. Molly is trash.
Yeah. I like Molly as a character independent of Issa. I even like her as a part of their, what do you call it? Like their friendship circle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I like her as a part of that. I don't know if I like her as a best friend. And I don't know that I ever have. Because something has always felt disingenuous about their relationship from the very first season to me.
You know, I think that the very interesting thing that I took away from this season, especially with the development of Issa and Molly's relationship, or the decline of it, rather. Mm-hmm. But I think that I realized that as long as Issa had drama, as long as Issa was, you know, kind of in between stuff and was needy. And I feel like when she started to see how Issa was finding her voice, she was finding her place, she was really getting into the groove of things.
Yeah.
I felt like she had to find a way to sabotage it.
Yeah.
And I think that Molly is she is a self-sabotager in many ways. And so I felt like she had to sabotage a relationship in some facet or another, whether it was with Issa, whether it was with her boyfriend or somebody, she had to sabotage it.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why. Because I mean, like, even in the season where you see her get jealous when she's spending time with Condola, and how she even thanked Condola for remembering the first or second episode when she had like kickback at her place. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of just saying, like, thank you, Condola, for everything you've done. Yeah. And Molly kind of like rolled her eyes and was like super jealous. Right. And I was like, hey, this is her business partner. Like, she's helping her out.
Their relationship is very, very much so codependent, you know, on both sides. And I think that has been true for the duration of what we've seen. Now, what's interesting is we do not know the context of their or the nature of their relationship. While, you know, prior to Issa and Lawrence's breakup, so we don't know what kind of real like friend she was to Issa when the relationship with Lawrence was good, because I'm assuming there had to be at least a point of time where their relationship was at least functioning. And we don't know if Molly was if she was the same kind of friend then, because the series started at the crux of the problems between Issa and Lawrence. So we know her as a savior almost to Issa. That's the only way we've seen her. So we don't know if when things were good in Issa's life, if she was the same type of friend or not. But what we're learning about her, what we're learning about the two of them, is that their relationship is codependent. I see Issa as Molly's struggle friend. And their relationship is good if Issa is struggling, because then Molly feels needed. I think that it is great that they introduce the whole therapy part for her, because then at least we know that she recognizes there's a problem, so we can't fully hate her. But I feel like this season gave me my resolve. Prior seasons, I was like, something off about Molly. But this season, I was like, okay, I've settled it. No.
But you know what? I feel like with Molly, she is not only if you remember at the end of last season when she was with the last episode when she was with her therapist and she was having issues at work, and her therapist said this, like, why do you feel the need to always win? Like, why do you feel, or something to that degree.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, why do you feel like you always have to be on top or always win? And I think that is a struggle for Molly, because I feel like her whole reasoning for not wanting to help Issa, it had nothing to do with her setting boundaries around her relationship. It had everything to do with her wanting to see Issa struggle and fail. And when it was such a huge success, it was like, I gotta blow up. I gotta do something to ruin this moment for her. And I just felt like, even at that moment, like, okay, even if you were upset, I felt like you could have took that time and let her have her moment and then talk to her about it later. Definitely. I just did not think it was necessary to. Yes. And I mean, people even thought that she pulled out a gun. It was just, it was ridiculous. Like, she totally ruined that moment for her.
Interesting thing about that part. Sorry to cut you off, but
no, go ahead.
Interesting thing about that scene, and I'm probably the only person who picked up on this, is that Molly used the line from The Five Heartbeats. She said, you're the same selfish bastard you always been, or something to that effect. And it made me think of, well, that line to me is directly correlates with the line from The Five Heartbeats between Duck and his brother. I forget the Leon's character. I can't remember his name. But when Leon stole his girlfriend, you know, that was their thing. And so I was like, I wonder if it was coincidental that line directly corresponds to the line from The Five Heartbeats. But in the event that it doesn't, I was like, what would Issa have stolen from Molly? And the only thing I can think is, in that moment, she stole success, you know? In that particular moment, she was successful, and that unnerved her. I feel like that unnerved Molly in a way. Yeah, I'm like, this is your struggle friend. Molly feels validated by Issa's struggle. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, even if when you look at her work dynamic, she feels like she always has to be the center of attention. She has to be the person that's on top. She has to be the person that everybody go to, everybody look to, so forth and so on. And that's why her relationship is so strained with the guy at work, where he's just like, I don't even really want to be bothered with you because you snub us. And and it's, I feel like she had to work her way back to that, but I think that it's only so much time before she ruins that relationship. Even with Molly, with her dad, like, I feel like, I know it was devastating for her to find out that her father had an affair, but it was years ago, and they got over it, and the parents are fine, and they're still married. And like, for her to feel like she has to carry that burden, that anger, that hatred, I want to understand more behind it. Like, why do she feel like she has to have that?
I didn't understand, because I'm like, okay, so you're this upset about your parents having, your dad having this affair on your mom, but you resolved your feelings by having this relationship with Dro, who, even though he was in an open relationship, was still married. Like, so is this really a strong value of yours? Or not. What do you just do what's convenient for you in the moment? So I'm telling you, I don't know, maybe I got my own scars about friendships, but I'm telling you, I you know, since maybe the first season, I was, you know, I was kind of on the fence about Molly, but I'm telling you, I'm good on Molly this season.
I mean, I was like, after that, after the block party, I was like, okay, I feel like I was building up my discontentment for her because I felt like they had like a really good relationship, at least it appeared to be. And then after this season, I started to think about Molly's behavior in the past, and I'm like, oh, she really don't like Issa's success. She just don't, she don't want to ever see her win or ever take advantage of her brilliance. And honestly, like, Issa really like glowed up this season. She looks really prettier. She does. I mean, she honestly took like a whole like jump. And I mean, like, even I feel like when she, and this is what I guess we're building up to, this last episode that we've seen Loki happy, but I really feel like Issa really took the steps to become a happier person, a healthier person. Now, obviously, she's not perfect, and she's still making some mistakes, but I really feel like in the essence of her taking the steps, like, even from her quitting her job last season to getting her own place, to organizing it, to organizing her thoughts, her feelings, and actually doing something impactful for her community, and like she just, I feel like these steps was leading up to her being able to communicate herself better, to be able to know what she wants in the moment, to even know what makes her happy is a huge thing, because most people don't even know what makes them happy.
Absolutely. I think a huge scene for me, just showing her level of growth, is when after the block party, she stopped and she cleaned up her house, and they had that whole montage of her cleaning. And I'm like, people don't know what cleaning up your house will do for your mental health. Like, true. I feel like all of that clutter was a sign of her kind of getting her stuff in order, you know, like, like, okay, now that was over. I did that. It was great. Now let me get every aspect of my life in alignment with that one success. It's that, that built her self-confidence, not even self-esteem, but just having that, that win of the block party built her confidence in other areas. And I do, I agree with you.
Agreed.
That it's starting to show in her behaviors. It's even, you know, it's a character, but it's even showing hourly. This last episode, I was like, Issa, you're pretty pretty on this episode.
Yes. I mean, she, the whole, I feel like even the awkwardness about her is even shifting into a more mature Issa, a more steady and stable Issa.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, even listening to her, like, I don't know if you, you know, paid attention to how she communicated throughout the seasons, but her directness, I love the engagement that her and Lawrence had in this past episode, where they were sitting at the table and they was able to talk and really, like, express their feelings towards one another. I mean, Issa told him how she was miserable in the relationship at the end and how he wasn't communicating and opening up. And he was able to tell her how he felt. And even, I so appreciate this part about Lawrence when he said, you know, it was so easy for me when you cheated to just blame it on you and not deal with my own stuff. And I was like, you know what? That is huge. Like, huge for self-care, huge for self-growth. Like, I think that Lawrence really leveled up in this season, and I feel like Issa leveled up as well. But, like, it's just, it's so interesting to just see the dynamic between them two as they begin to communicate, where it's not like touch and go, like, I don't like you, I don't want to be around you, you cheated on me, and she, you know, her having that looming guilt of, I know I hurt you, that kind of thing. It was just like, now they can talk and be open, and that's beautiful. And I think that, and honestly, and I honestly think that even with Molly's relationships, even with this current relationship, I feel like she doesn't even have what Issa and Lawrence have currently.
I agree. I 100% agree. Girl, let's just get into this episode, because listen, this is why we called this mandatory meeting.
We have a family meeting.
Like, we have a family meeting about this episode.
I don't even know where to start.
I don't either. You start. But since you started with dinner, let's just go with dinner.
Okay.
I think, here's the thing, and I'm going to just bounce this off of you. You know, as friends, let's just think this out, because I don't know, I ain't have any real conversations about this up until this point. I feel like the conversation she had with Lawrence, Issa had with Lawrence at the dinner, she couldn't have had if her and Molly were in a good place. And let me defend that argument.
Okay, oftentimes
when our friends are closest to us, or, you know, we got a best friend or whatever, we, this is how the conversation goes. Hey, Ellie, I'm finna meet up with Lawrence. Girl, what for what? He called me, said he just got back from San Francisco and he wanted to meet up and talk about what? And then you kind of have that preliminary conversation with your friends, where you come in with preconceived notions because you've had somebody else viewing it like, oh, girl, he probably want to get back with you. He saw you had success at this block party. Now he wants you. You know, you have all that dialogue that taints your perspective. But I feel like because Molly was not in the picture in that moment, Issa went in with her own thoughts and feelings, how whatever they may be. If she was feeling regret, if she was feeling, you know, competition with Condola, if she was feeling happy because he just called, those feelings were all her own without being massaged by an outside influence. I just feel like it may have been different if Molly had been in her corner, because we know when Molly looked down in that window,
I was about to bring that point up.
Yeah, where I don't remember what event that was there at, but when she looked down at that window and she saw Issa talking to Lauren, she had thoughts about that, very clear thoughts, very clear opinions, that she was kind of going back to something old, and her thoughts, her expressions in that moment were not positive. They were not in favor of.
Right.
And they were very clear and very direct. It was like written upon her face. You could see exactly how she felt about a simple conversation with him. So to know that they would be meeting up and sort of kind of going out on a date, I'm sure she would have had something to say about that. But
oh yeah, I agree with you totally, because even when Issa, when she found out, now to go back to the very first episode, when she found out that Condola was dating Issa, or sorry, Lauren, and she came and made that comment at the garbage can, like, you just like your life to have a bunch of drama. I feel like she was, one, in that moment, she was blocking Issa from trying to accomplish success, because she obviously had the tools and the keys that Issa needed. And like you said, I can agree with that point, because if she would have talked with Lawrence, now we know how she felt about her talking with Lawrence, even when they was at the, like, the come see the baby event at her friend's house. So even with that, I think that she would have cast a shadow over Issa getting the closure.
She would have convinced her not to go.
And if she would have went, it would have been totally awkward, because Issa would, you know what? I'm gonna tell you something. I think that the decline of their relationship is the opening up of Issa. To be honest, I feel like we're seeing honestly, it's just been one episode, but I feel like we're honestly seeing a smarter, a more savvier, like, honestly, like, when she was away from Molly, she is like, she blossoms, she grows, and I think that somebody needs to tell her that.
Sis is winning right now without Molly, and this is what I'm saying. I'm telling you, like, I don't know, I'm good on Molly. I like Issa sans Molly. I like her without Molly. And I'm not saying that I don't like Molly, because I do like Molly. I don't like them as best friends.
You really kind of swayed me on this, because at first I was like, oh, they need to get back together. But I'm kind of like, now that I'm thinking about it, honestly, Issa is so much better without her. Like, she
cool.
Honestly, I really think that what this episode, what this season is doing low key, is making us think about relationships that we're in. Yeah. And how happy are we in them? And how do they make us progress? How do we grow? How do we achieve our goals? Because honestly, Molly was not down for Issa at all. Like, she didn't lend a hand at all for Issa during this whole process. Absolutely. The only reason why she stuck around at the first event was because she was mad at her boyfriend.
Yep.
That was the only reason why she was there.
The title of the show is Insecure, so at every given point, we got to think that that's got to be a running theme that kind of drives the plot. And so it's like, what is Molly insecure about? Well, Molly is insecure when it comes to relationships, period. Yeah. Whether it is love, whether it is friendship, she is insecure about those. Well, we've gotten to see a little bit of the context of her family. I don't know that we've seen enough, so maybe we need to see more of that to feel a little bit of compassion for her. Because, you know, on the web, what I've been seeing is everybody's like, Molly is wrong. She's wrong. Like, Molly is wrong. I don't know that I saw anybody say Issa overstepped.
So I haven't seen.
They got to redeem Molly. We got to learn what kind of baby sis was, because at this point, she is not winning. But yes, Molly aside, because I want to talk about Issa and Lawrence. I've been Team Lawrence. I said on the very first podcast we do it.
Yes, you did. You have been Team Lawrence. I had to tell you, like, I went back and listened to the old podcast, and I was like, I told Crystal the reason why they made it seem like they was get back together and they didn't was because they thought that they was out of time as far as seasons. Yeah. So now that they have seasons, yeah, we might get to see Issa and Lawrence back together.
And it's so now, much you sweeter. Have, it's so much yes. sweeter with the wait. Like, I'm glad we waited because they are they're both individually different. They're different mm-hmm. people. They're the people right now that they wish the other was then. You know, it's yes. like you're the girlfriend that I wish you're the girlfriend now I wish I had then, and you're the boyfriend now that I wish I had then.
Right, right.
But they needed that time to kind of grow and learn and mature and yes. pursue their own yes. ambitions, and that made them better. I'm here for it.
But, yeah, I'm totally here for a reunite between Issa and Lawrence. I think that it would really help the both of them. Yeah. I'm just interested in the hurdles and the jump, the hurdles that they would have to jump over, because they got tons of them. I mean, you have a really huge, huge suspicion that Condola could be pregnant. And if she is pregnant, I am going to fall out. I am going to petition Issa and tell her that this cannot be.
You know, like, I already sent her a DM on Instagram. I was like, listen, you got time to change this. Sis. I was like, I'm not even this kind of person. But I low-key sent her an Instagram DM. Like, sis, you got time to change it. If 50 Cent can change the Power theme song back in yes. 1 week, less than yes. 1 week. Sis, if he did it before, he could do it again. He could do it for us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Change it back. Girl.
Right. Undo that.
This is one suspicion. If Condola is pregnant, this is one suspicion that I hope I am wrong on. But I'm. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about kind of the why, okay?
Okay.
Why I think yeah. it might be that she may be leading up to a pregnancy. God, please, Lord, don't do it to me.
Yes.
I don't know if my heart can take it.
But I don't think I can take it either. I think I will fall straight out. But I think that, like, because she was so, like, adamant about seeing him.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, yeah, she was. And the interesting thing about it was that, like, even during Thanksgiving, she was like, well, you kind of invited yourself over. I really didn't invite you. And, like, she was just like, well, I'm happy you were here, but still. And I'm just like, Condola, are you just calling him over for a late night rendezvous or are you know, like, what's your deal? Because I honestly did not understand why her persistence was so, and like, he never really clarified or said much to it. And so,
and here's the thing, like, if somebody was calling you like, Hey, I want to talk. If you call me like, hey, Chris, I want to talk to you. Can you come by? I'd be like, absolutely. But I'm trying to gauge on level 1 to 10, how urgent is this? Do I need to stop what I'm doing and come? Or is it like, I can hold this off? So I would be like, what's up? What you want to talk about? He asked that. Maybe there's a difference between men and women, because he just was like, yeah, I got some things I'm doing and I'm going to wrap them up and then I'm coming. But not even just her phone calls and text messages and things like that on that evening. We got to think of what led up to it in the character development. And there's two particular instances that, to me, point towards possible pregnancy. God help. I don't even want to say it.
Tell me your development.
The first is the beginning of, I want to say it's the beginning of season 3, where we get this montage of Lawrence. The very first time we see Lawrence is out here hitting everything, walking.
He's
just out here just doing all kinds of things. And then very conveniently, we see him go to the clinic and he has contracted an STD. So already there's a suspicion that Lawrence could be out here possibly not using protection. Okay? So there's already that suspicion on his end. Then there is her, because one of my friends said she just doesn't strike me as the kind of person who would get caught up like that. And I agree. Condola seems to have her head on straight. But then there was that conversation on Thanksgiving about having a family or not. Her saying that she, you know, well, he asked her, he made the statement that he didn't know that she didn't want to have a family. And she said, well, that's not what I said. I just right. got divorced a year and a half ago. So she never said yes or no, I do or I don't. But there is a question raised about whether or not she wants, not a husband, because they didn't say husband, but whether or not right. she wants a right. family. So that automatically sows a seed of children to me. Right. The thought of does Condola want kids? Does Lawrence want kids? To Lawrence, that was kind of sort of a deal breaker.
Do we want kids with her?
Yeah. That was kind of sort of a deal breaker for him. Like, oh, you don't want a family? Okay, well then I'm good on this. You ain't for me. And I have always gathered that Condola genuinely and truly liked him, but it was just the Issa card that was causing her to, you know, put things into question. Aside from that, she didn't really have many complaints about dudes. She was straight on him. So,
well, yeah, I mean, I don't think that she had much complaints, but I do think that Condola definitely has wounds. Yeah, and those can potentially get in the way of, because like, I feel like with Lawrence, as much as he tried to do the playboy thing, I mm-hmm. really believe he wears his heart on his sleeve.
Yeah,
and it's really just not who he is. He really wanted something steady and stable.
True.
And you could see that even in his, like when he was like, you know what? And this is what I love about the conversation that he and Issa had at the table, where he said, I realized that, you know, I thought I was interested in doing my own thing. I wanted to just work for myself, but I realized I'm really good at being a number two.
Yep.
And for somebody to come to that realization, particularly as a man, that's huge. Like, to be able to say, look, I know that I could do good work and I could probably make it fine on my own, but I realized that I'm much more structured and better when I'm helping somebody else build their own stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that
Ellie, hold on, why are you right there on that train of thought? As two mm-hmm. women who are highly ambitious, just because mm-hmm. I know what you work on, what you do, what you're good at, and I think vice versa, you know how intimidating it can be in relationships for a guy to look at a woman who's ambitious and be like, nope,
yeah,
not for me, don't want to play the back, nope, I want a woman who's up front. And now Issa was becoming that type of person. She had mm-hmm. she had conquered this Black Party thing and was now thinking of what she would do next. She was chasing ambition. You know, she was chasing one event to the next event and looking for ways to further progress and grow in what she enjoyed doing. And for a person like that, you need somebody who's like, hey, I'm willing to be your piece when you come home from, you know, what working on projects like that will do. You and I have both been in those kind of spaces to know what kind of mental anguish that is and how important mm-hmm. it is to have a partner at home who supports your ambition, is not intimidated by your ambition, and still can see to your care, you know? And I feel mm-hmm. like he was kind of sort of making that statement without making it, like, I can let my girl have a spotlight. Sorry to make this about Molly, is what Molly was not able to do.
Right.
You got to think about the two strongest relationships Issa had.
Absolutely. She was not able to play her position as a friend to be supportive. Yep. Even though you're on top, you're doing, because, okay, here's the thing that I think, to really further prove your point, is a very small piece that happened on the I think it was the episode prior, or maybe mm-hmm. two episodes before. But even when Issa and Molly had kind of ended up trying to park in the same spot,
Issa
was clearly there first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Molly was like, I'm not moving. You know what I'm saying? And Issa ended up, and like, even in that little small thing, Issa ended up like sacrificing herself. I would have been like, I was here first. Obviously, I had to pull up to back up.
Kept backing up.
Right.
You get your car tore off if you want to, but
absolutely. So it goes to show you how much Issa has been self-sacrificing for Molly mm-hmm. and how mm-hmm. selfish Molly has been towards Issa. I mean, like, honestly, like, you think about the Thanksgiving situation where Issa was hanging out with her brother and then she was like, hey, I can't make it. And then she just was kind of cold and distant towards her. Like, it would seem like, oh, Issa forgot about Molly, but it's not the case. Like, Molly right. Issa is like on a whole different wave, and Molly is not even trying to catch up or stay up with her friend. And so I think that, like, even with Lawrence, like, the fact that he even mentioned that he's okay with being the number two, I feel like that made Issa feel safe to even say, like, you know what, this guy honestly makes me happy. And if you think about, even in the first season when they were together, like, he was at home, you know, basically doing nothing, but he was okay with helping her, you know what I'm saying, like, or being there with her as she worked, like, most guys that have issues with pride and stuff like that, they'll be like, well, I'm gonna get a job and I don't care or whatever, and be real destructive. But he was like, you know, I'm kind of really focused on this and I really want to do this, but I'm here for you. And I think that, like, that's what Issa has been missing the entire time. It's just, like, having somebody there in her corner. And if you notice, like, even with Lawrence, like, every woman he dated has always been very strong. So you think about the girl, the I don't even know her name. I hate to really refer to her like this, but the hood girl.
The girl from the band.
Yes. That's what, like, I call her. She was, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was very strong and, like, go get mama from off the curb, you know what I'm saying? Like, so he was like, nah, this ain't me. I'm just here sleeping around with you. And then, you know, he gets in, he starts to date Condola. And Condola is very strong. She knows what she wants. She already have her own stuff. And even then, he was just saying, like, even at Thanksgiving, he was saying, like, you know, you got your own stuff. You're doing your own thing. I feel like I need to match you. But I feel like with him, with Issa, Issa is like, look, if you treat me right, I'm fine with us just being together. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I just thought that it's just interesting to see how this, how even in this episode, it showed happiness, but it showed the balance of it. And that's what I appreciate the most, because it wasn't just like, oh, we're just skipping through the tulips and we're just happy. But it showed the balance and how you can become happy with understanding yourself. And I think that both of them learned themselves enough to know what makes them happy and how they can find happiness within each other.
I have found that, I think you summed that up perfectly. I have found that the episodes that have been written by Natasha Rothwell have been my favorite. They've always
Natasha is a writer.
She is amazing. I know she wrote the episode with the Coachella, which, like, there's a, now listen, I didn't watch this whole series front to back probably three, four times, because anytime I have a friend who's like, I haven't seen it, I'm like, well, let me log into my HBO account, because we're about to do this right now. So absolutely, we're gonna do it now. I can always watch it again. I know that the Coachella episode was one that I rewound, like, literally watched it and then watched it again, because I felt like it was incredibly funny. I feel like when she writes the episodes, the emotion that she wants you to feel is very much present. Like, you ain't got a second guess. Like, you know exactly how you're supposed to feel in this episode. I thought Coachella was hilarious. Like,
yes, it was.
And I laughed at the entire thing. And this one, I was just like, first of all, the cinematography on this thing, I mean, I was like, I barely, now, channel back to one of them degrees I got that's in television production and directing, but this is one of those episodes that made me remember why, when I was 18, I wanted, you know, to direct TV shows, because when they did that side by side of Issa and Lawrence facing each other, and there was that juxtaposition of those neon lights, I literally paused the screen, took a picture with my phone, because I was like, the composition of this is stunning. Like, I feel like they've always
shot the entire episode was a beautiful episode.
When they came through that art walk and those little clouds were hanging there, and they had that music playing, I was like, oh, listen, this is a great day.
Honestly, when they left the first place where it got crowded, and he ordered the lift, I was like, you know what? I want to go on a date. Like, I started thinking about
Right, like, we're going to get out here in these streets.
Yes, like, it was It was such a beautiful development.
It was
of friendship and love.
Ellie, and I just feel like they just never let our girl be happy.
Yes.
I'm just like, oh no, she is just too happy. The fact that she took that walk home, which was a long walk. Sis was acting like that was around the corner. It was not. That was a long walk. But she took that walk. I'm like, girl, you ain't home yet. You walked through the neighborhood by the stores. You ain't home. But anyway, when she took that walk, I feel like it was like her just bliss, just like, mm-hmm. oh, this is like, even if I don't know what I want, even if I don't know if I want to be back with dude or I do want to be back with him, I am just happy with where things are in life in general. I've had this huge success with my black party. I know what I want to do next. And then ex bae, who I really feel bad about cheating on, is acting right. I just feel
And here's the thing. Not only did she feel bad, like not only the part of her feeling bad about cheating on him, but I think that she really was able to have I think that Lawrence and her and their development of their relationship after her cheating, he created a safe place for her to express her grievances and what makes her happy. Because even when she was getting ready to leave his house, she was just like, I want to stay because that would make me happy.
Yeah.
And that made it was so many parts of it was so poetic. And I think that's just the dance of their conversation. And I think that we just forget how beautiful conversation is because we're so used to doing things on the digital scale. We just forget how beautiful it is to just sit in front of someone and have a conversation. And especially now with the climate that we're in with the coronavirus and everything that's happening, we took for granted the beautifulness or the beauty of person to person connection. And I think that this episode really painted that picture beautifully. And even on a cinematography level, it was just visually engaging and just looking through as they walked through that gala, it was just like, oh my gosh, this is just I love how Issa really finds ways to amplify black art, whether it's through music, whether it's through shows or whatever.
Agreed.
Like the block party was a very beautiful event, you know, I think how she tied in doing the wobble with everybody, like who doesn't do the wobble?
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, everybody know the wobble.
Right. It's like such a beautiful thing. Like she just her team knows how to bring out the beauty in blackness.
Yeah.
And I really feel like this episode was just so visually stimulating. It was like insane. And it's an episode, honestly, even if Lawrence and Issa don't get together, I am so satisfied with this one episode.
Yeah.
They gave I appreciate that Natasha wrote this episode the way that she did because she was able to let Issa express herself, which is something that nobody gives Issa room to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like she's going, like you see her struggling going from Pillow to Post last season and now she got her own and she's stable and nobody's running over her. Nobody's thinking for her. She doesn't have to mute herself or dumb herself down. This episode allowed her to just say, this is where I am.
Yeah.
This is where I was. And even Lawrence, his receptiveness of it was like, you know what? I realize now I wasn't the best man for you.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing everything right. I thought I was, but I wasn't. And now I realize.
Go ahead. No, I think that's one of the issues that we've been having with the two of them as we get these glimpses of the two individually throughout these seasons is we've always been wondering, are they better together? Are they better apart? Are they it's kind of like what we were saying about Molly. Is she better with Molly? What are the advantages without Molly? And I feel like we always wondered because when we met them as a couple, they were in the heat of it. You know, they were, things were not going well between them when we met them as a couple. And then from there, we've only known them as individuals. And now we got to see and we've been seeing little glimpses, like even when they were making the movie jokes at the coffee shop and Condola walked up like, oh, y'all make jokes together. You know, even Condola asking the question, if she hadn't cheated, would you guys be together? I think right. that was the question that we all have through the right. four seasons of Insecure, is if she hadn't cheated, would this have been a great show about a great couple, you know, or what?
Like, you know, what I find interesting about it, what I find very interesting about that piece is that I feel like they needed to separate, because even when Issa didn't cheat, yeah. she wasn't happy. You know what yeah. I'm saying? And like yeah. she mentioned in the conversation that she had with Lawrence, how she wanted to feel wanted. She wanted to feel yeah. love. She was like, you know, you stopped talking to me. We didn't have sex. We didn't yeah. do this. We didn't do that.
So now I got and a question really, for you. Since you feel like mm-hmm. that, I got a question for you. Do you think that with all these great successes they've had apart, do you think they can still, that they can be happy together? Do you think it'll continue? Do you think it's going to fall off?
I, you know what is, okay, in my ideal world, what I would love to see is Issa continue to find her voice. And yeah. I think that she hasn't really been able to find her voice independently. So one thing I noticed about even with Issa and Molly is that neither one of them really know who they are, and that's why they're so insecure. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. always been some kind of man to interrupt. Like mm-hmm. Molly has, like throughout this whole entire season okay. or this whole entire show, Molly has always had some kind of guy to yeah. interrupt her growth, her path. You know, like when Molly would get on the track of growth and development,
yeah.
it would always be some random guy come and she'll sleep with him to throw her way off. And I yeah. feel like Issa, like even though she was on the track of getting herself together, you know, even in the season where she really took this real huge glow up, she even still had TSA Bay. And then yeah. she kind of dipped yeah. back in with Nathan, and now Lawrence is back in the picture. Right. So I would love to see Issa continue to develop. I would love to see them Same. Together. I just want Issa and Lawrence to be together, but I feel like they evolve separately enough to come back together, but like live in separate apartments, come visit each other
yeah.
and just kind of like grow from there. And I think that if they could have genuine conversations, like I would love to see the show take a turn where it goes from constant drama with yeah. men and relationships to how we evolve in communication, how we evolve with each other to make it actually work. And even if they sacrifice Issa and Molly's relationship for that, I would be satisfied. Agreed. So I would yeah, be perfectly okay if Issa and Lawrence together evolve and grow and really show true Black love and evolution of it and how it works, and Issa just find a better friend. You know, like I'm okay with Issa and Molly not being friends as long as Issa yeah. can continue to grow. Now, if they take a turn where Issa and Lawrence don't end up together, yeah. I am perfectly okay with it if Issa continues to grow. Like, I don't want to see Issa revert back to old Issa.
Same. Yeah.
Like, I just would like to see her glow up and continue to evolve as a woman. And I would love to see her even mm-hmm. get back in the nonprofit sector where she's actually impacting kids' life, which is something she's passionate about.
Right, right.
And so, I mean, like, I would love to see the show do that. Yeah. But I would like for her to really heal from her friendship wounds with Molly. Yeah. And I would love for her to see how toxic Molly is in her life.
Yeah, same. I hope they see that in the very next episode. Mm-hmm. I hope that is the conversation they're going to have.
Yeah, I think that I feel like in this season, they really honed in on how necessary it is to have good friendships around you and good relationships, mm-hmm. good partnerships that can advance you forward. And I believe that, I honestly believe that Issa and Lawrence could advance each other forward, mm-hmm. but they have, like, the communication piece is going to have to be king.
Yeah.
So that's something that I don't know if they're ready for or able to do, but I think that, like, that's going to have to be phenomenally huge in their life.
Yeah.
But here's a wild card I want to talk about. Oh, I want to talk about what is their friend? I can't call anybody's name. Not Kelly, but the other girl.
Is her name Tiffany? I was trying to think of her name too.
Tiffany, yes. Thank you. Tiffany. I do not believe that's her husband's baby.
You know, something's off about that.
And she's definitely dealing with postpartum, for sure.
It's a very weird situation happening there. When I watched this this series for probably the third or fourth time on the quarantine with one of my coworkers, and it was a male coworker, and he was like, that's not a dude's baby. I said, you think? Because it is weird. But we have not known her to be like a sleeping around type, you know, girl. But she's, I agree that she's probably going through postpartum, but something's very off about that situation.
Oh yeah, something is, because her disposition towards her daughter, like,
yeah,
the little sly comments that she's been making,
yeah,
is scary. Yeah. Like, they asked her something about breast milk, and she was just like, "Oh well, her loss," you know. Like, right, and even when the baby was like crying, and she was just disinterested in going home,
let the husband go, yeah,
yeah. So. Yeah, it's something definitely there that's developing. I don't know what, but I'm waiting for the ball to drop. Because I feel like they've been hinting around it, but, like, you know, obviously Issa and Molly is the two main characters, but, I have to say this before I lose my train of thought, and then I'm gonna come right back, I promise.
Okay.
If you look at, like, the, I don't even know if they're, like, what would you call it? The cover art of each season?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see Issa this season sitting by herself, very confident, and like, I think that those, they really tell a story.
Because last season,
it was her and Molly.
I thought I was the only person that paid attention to that.
The insecure, you have to pay attention to everything.
This goes back to the very first podcast we had about this, where I was saying, like, this show is smart. It's one of the things that I really like about it is there is nothing that you can just take for face value. Like, even when I was talking about the line possibly being a callback to the 5 heartbeats, it's like, you can't dismiss it because most things on the show are done intentionally. And I agree that in every other piece of cover art, you know, the very first one was Issa making this obscure face where she's like, she's like awkward and it looks weird and she's by herself and we're figuring out who she is, what's her identity. Then she goes to this like party girl, like in the pool, like enjoying life type cover art. And then there's the Molly and Issa one where something's askew. And then for the last one, we see her with a very confident smile and other people.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's the other people that are in the world where she's not confined to her own smaller world. Like, we're seeing her be somebody amongst other people. So I agree with you. I thought I was the only person who paid attention to that, but I'm
no.
This is why me and you talk about this.
Right. <'Cause we do. laughs> So I think that, like, that is a symbol, honestly, that those clip arts, so to speak, like, for lack of better word usage, I think that those really tell the story of each season and how they develop. And what I really, really, really appreciate is how, like, they just have Issa as, like, Issa, honestly, her hair, from her hair to her skin, the makeup, everything has just been flawless. I was like, this is such great cinematography.
She's been hitting them angles. Girl, when he came from outside on the phone with Condola back into the house and she was standing there, I said, he ain't gonna send that girl home. She looked pretty today. just her skin. Like, we need to DM Issa, find out what her skincare regimen is. Because she went. That's one of the things I love about the directors for the show is that they've always known how to light these characters. I remember, like, second season with Daniel, very much in the mix, and they were shooting with all those blues. I'm like, they know that he looks great off brown skin. So, you know, they're doing all those club scenes and just a very visually pleasing show, which is one of the reasons why I love that this comes on HBO, is because we know there's a production quality that we're going to get every time.
Every single time.
They've delivered. You know, I'm here for it.
Yes, but, every single time. And to circle back to the Tiffany situation, I think that, when her husband was saying, like, Lawrence made the comment, well, you guys are going to be great parents. You generally plan everything out. And he said, we didn't plan this.
Yeah.
We was just going to buy a house. Ooh, and
you're right.
And all of that. And remember when her husband and Lawrence was having this conversation, and he was like, yeah, it was a dude at work. I handled it. You know what I'm saying? So it was like,
oh, let me find out you're right.
You remember that? Do you not remember that episode? When he was like, yes, right when she was pregnant. Right after that, she ended up pregnant. So I am not 100% certain. Because remember, she was like, my husband, my man. And like all of that, like that was like cease and desist after this baby. And I really think we're going to find out a bombshell truth in these last, two episodes?
God, girl.
I'm hoping something come out, but I'm hoping that it won't spiral Issa out of control, because you know how they kind of like feed off each other drama. Yeah. I need a break, y'all. Like Issa, if you're listening, please give us something.
Please.
Make your character happy.
Give it to us in fourth season or something, fifth season, because if they take anywhere near as long to put out season 5 as they did to put out season 4. Remember when we were like, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, I was
we
very
don't know
lost.
What happened to these characters. Girl.
Right. But see, I blame it on HBO because Issa is a very busy woman. She couldn't check, getting checks. And she was like, look, by the time y'all renewed us, I had already had obligations. So I understand. I respect her for that. And I understand that much of the situation, but I'm glad that they know that they have a fifth season. So they probably should be writing and recording now.
Yeah.
Because we can go along.
Please. Please. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, what do you think about the new show they're watching? I love that they watch these shows. What is it? Finding LaToya.
Yeah. I am trying to really understand. I'm trying to understand the connection or the point of that show. Honestly, like I'm trying to get with it.
Cause you know, there's a connection, you know, there's gotta be a connection. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I know that, who is Molly on the phone with? I think she's on the phone with Nathan, and she said something about her and Molly not really talking anymore or something like that.
Right?
It was maybe like the second episode. It was right after the block party or something like that. And she was watching that show, and the show is asking, what happened? Who's responsible? You know, like, is LaToya really missing, or was she murdered? I don't know. I feel like maybe it's supposed to give us some insight into Molly and Issa. So maybe we need to pay more attention to the show. And the times at which they're watching it, because Lawrence was watching it too.
Yeah, Lawrence was into it too. He was like,
Remember when she drove the old man who missed the bus?
Yes.
It was on the bench.
It was.
We gotta find out the correlation of that. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to go back and watch this season, because it was like, what are you missing? Like, is she really lost? Or I think I get what you're saying with that.
We gotta watch that.
You know, all of this is just extremely interesting because like you said, everything plays off of each other, so you can't really miss a little spot. But I think that this last episode, for everybody that was an Issa fan or a Lawrence fan, you know, like what was the thing that they was
the
doing?
Lawrence
Hive. Yes, when it was the Lawrence Hive, I think that this gave all of us a little deep breath.
So
I mean, it just helped us all. We were just like, thank you, Issa and Drew. Like, we needed that moment. So I had you on here for an hour, almost an hour. So do you have any more final thoughts or feelings or anything?
I just want to say I laughed, I cried, I everything in between. And if that girl comes back, if Condola is pregnant, that's all I'm going to say. If that girl is pregnant, I'm coming through with TSA, babe. Like, how?
If she's pregnant, you have to come back on the show.
We're coming right back. Same day. We don't have to do it the very same day. We coming right. Which happens to be my birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, but we get right back on here. I will stop what I'm doing because we got to talk about it if she is. I don't think we're going to know in this very next episode. I don't think we're going to know to the finale.
I think they're going to be Molly,
and we're going to be sitting there waiting.
Right. I think that is wise. I think if I can give Issa any advice, when she goes to meet with Molly next week, I would not discuss anything that happened with Lawrence. I just would not give Molly the room.
No,
I wouldn't.
Please don't let Molly come ruin her high.
Don't do it.
Fun times. It's always
you have any
fun.
Final take?
No, I just can't wait to see what happens next. It's always fun talking about this with you. You're the only person that really gets all of my random thoughts about it.
I'm so glad that I have you to talk about it because this show has been, honestly, I think, if I can say this, it really, that show last week, I don't know if it was just because of the climate of everything that happened in the world at that time. And honestly, I'm currently healing from having the coronavirus and I'm actually home quarantined now. So I think that after getting through the thick of the virus, because it's such a, like, I can't even give you words for how bad that virus is, but after getting through the thick of it, but still having some side effects, some residuals from it, it really challenged me to think about, after you can get back up on your feet and be yourself again, what makes you happy? What are the things that bring you joy? How do you embrace your own happiness? And I think honestly, like, and I know this is strange and people know that I'm a Christian, but I don't really care if you judge me for this, but even her telling him that she wanted him and opening herself to receive that happiness from him, she could have went with Nathan. She could have called TSA Bay. She could have did any kind of, you know, she could have went home and did something destructive if she wanted to, but the fact that she knew what made her happy and she went after that. Now I'm not, you know, obviously I'm not condoning, fornication, but what I am saying is that the fact that you can open up your mind to say I'm happy and I want this and be able to articulate that and articulate it well and receive it is a beautiful thing. And I think that we take that for granted so much. So just to see her happy, like, I think that that's why this episode is so important to me, is because we got to see Issa happy after seeing her being drugged for the last three seasons and not really finding that happiness. So for me as a woman, as a young, as a growing woman, I am understanding to pursue my own happiness and not be ashamed of it. So I love that episode for that reason alone. And that's why I can watch it over and over again, because it is a beautiful montage of happiness. And
I think that's the motto. That's the motto for 2020, is like, protect your peace, be happy. Like, that, like, cause at this point in time, things are so uncertain around us. You just have to protect your peace. If that means cutting people off, getting rid of friends, even if you're not getting rid of them, but even taking a break from them so that your thoughts are your own, your feelings are your own, they're without other people's influence, and you can really begin to get a handle on your life the way that you see it. Because at the end of the day, these people aren't the ones who are going to live with the consequences of your decisions. You are. So do what makes you happy, protect your peace at all costs, and be safe.
Yes. That is beautiful. And I think that is a perfect way to end this episode. So thank you so much, thank Crystal, for joining you, me. I was like so excited to have you on. So after the season end, you're coming back, right?
Excuse me, we're coming back Sunday. Well, yeah, okay. If we find out about Condola Sunday, then we coming back Sunday.
Yes. Okay.
Just text me, girl. You know, just send me a text.
Absolutely. Gotcha. All right, Crystal. Thank you. Have a good day.
Love y'all. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.